victory for the American people. Today, the American people voted for change, and they voted for Democrats to take our country in a new direction. And that is exactly what we intend to do. The American people voted for a new direction to restore civility and bipartisanship in Washington, D.C. And Democrats promise to work together in a bipartisan way for all Americans. The American people voted to restore integrity and honesty in Washington, D.C. And the Democrats intend to lead the most honest, most open, and most ethical Congress in history. The American people voted for a new direction for a fairer economy.
That's great.
And Democrats intend to work for an economy where all Americans participate in the prosperity of our great country. And nowhere did the American people make it more clear that we need a new direction than in the war in Iraq. Stay the course has not made our country safer, has not honored our commitment to our troops, and has not made the region more stable. We cannot continue down this catastrophic path. And so we say to the President, Mr. President, we need a new direction in Iraq.
Travelers, new directions for all. Oh, it's like Christmas and heaven and Hanukkah and Kwanzaa and Arbor Day all rolled into one.
Because it's Joshua Jackson Day?
No, because it's New Direction Day, which is just another way of saying, yes, it is Joshua Jackson Day. All right. I swear to God, I'll up it to $20. And you can't say it with a wink or a nod. You got to ask it straightforward like it's a real question. Joshua Jackson, tell me about your new director.
No, because see, now we've met him, and I think that he'd catch on.
Okay.
You know, he may be listening right now.
Hello.
You looked very pretty last night.
Okay. Moving on. It's 4 minutes and 8 seconds after the hour of 11, and it's the month of November in the year of our Lord, 2006. Thank you for coming by and taking part in this, an exciting new direction in Portland radio. This is the Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970. Thank you to the many people. Because here's the thing, is I went home last night. I walked in the front door, and Laura, God bless her. God bless my lovely wife. She's sitting there on the sofa with the TiVo. And I walk in the front door. She's like, Nancy Pelosi's in New Direction 5 times. And she had already taped it. She had already saved it for me. That's love right there. That's what that's devotion. And respect. That's what that is. Anyway, but then I didn't bring all of it with me, but then I have a bunch of listeners who got it for me as well. So it's a bipartisan effort between my lovely wife and the audience who were able to get it. Thank you so much. It is the Rick Emerson radio program. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you'd like to engage electronically with this fine radio program. It's 503-733-2970 for the phone number, and the email is rick@rickemerson.com. 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 All right, so the best show ever continues at part two today. Britney Spears, still divorced. Guy downtown, still dead, I think. We'll talk about that, man. I had to walk. I walked by the Paramount.
Yeah, we were right there last night.
Right by the way to the theater. Oh, man. It was weird. It was creepy. But we'll talk about last night here in a second. We went to see that the new movie, the new... a phrase you don't use very often. The new Emilio Estevez film, Bobby, last night, featuring the dreamy Joshua Jackson. We'll be here in the studio today. No pressure.
Oh, come on. Just say it off the bat. You were impressed with him.
No, he was a cool guy. He was a very legitimately cool guy.
He was a very learned young man.
He was. No, he seemed, and he swore like a sailor. He's a PR
and
person.
He smokes and he spits. Yeah.
He scratched himself.
Yeah, he talked politics. He was all stuffy and beautiful.
And then he beat children. No, except for that last part.
And but talking about his Irish immigrant family,
no,
I
he was,
swear,
it was,
he, that is, nothing's hotter than that.
It was great. It was great, actually. He did, and he does have that Irish immigrant look to him. You know what I mean? And by that, I mean that he has that sort of rough and tumble. Like, he looks like he got to be wearing, like, a woolen hat.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And, like, sort of like a pea coat. And just a guy like, all right, now, we need to go to, you know, to rope off the ship or whatever it is you do on a dock. Whatever it is that the immigrants do on docks. Don't immigrants always work on docks?
I think they move stuff.
Yeah, I think they do move things. Yeah.
And then
like
they go
George Foreman grills and things like that.
And then they go and they bust up a union. Anyway, so there you go. No, he was a very cool guy. So we'll talk a little bit about that in a second. And so forth. It's 503-733-2970. So today's program, already a little bit chaotic today.
We don't know where to start, actually.
I got to tell you. Well, yesterday we were talking about the list of things that happened during yesterday's program. It's just, I mean, I was trying to recount it for Lara later. She wasn't able to listen. I mean, it was insane. They had evacuated the Macy's downtown. There was a grease spill on the highway. Mm-hmm. All the election machines were malfunctioning. Our phones went dead. Britney Spears got divorced. People were being killed by the flood. And then a guy threw himself off the top of the Paramount Hotel downtown. I mean, all of that stuff happened within the course of the program. That was all just stuff that wasn't like it happened in the morning and later on. All that stuff happened within the 4 hours of the radio program. So without further ado, we're going to bring a mailman, Chris, in a second. And then we'll go to the news because we're not going to sit and drone on about the election results, you know, like state by state, ballot by ballot look at what failed it. Because you already know. You already know that it's a get the red out kind of a day.
Oh, and one thing that nobody did mention, Ted Kennedy was reelected. Who knew he was running?
I thought they just gave it to him for life. It's like when they give you the key to the city. I thought they just gave him a thing of like Jameson's. It's like, here you go. There you go. You are here forever.
And here's a beautiful sedan. Drive it over the bridge.
Here's a bottle of Bushmills and a new intern. There you go, Ted. hello. We'll do that. But we got a big resignation that just happened like 5, 10, 15 minutes ago, something like that. A big resignation that we will get to in mere moments.
Things are changing quickly.
Man, it's a weird day. This is like, yeah, you know what it is? This is like we're on an episode of Sports Night or Studio 60, and this is part two of the exciting... Yes. No, this is like when there's an exciting two-part episode, like on Sports Night, Draft Day, episodes 1 and 2, It Can't Rate It Indian Wells and The Fall of Ryan O'Brien. This is exactly what yesterday was part one, where it's just the busiest, most crazy, the hectic day ever, and then it ends on like a freeze frame of like, what? Who resigned? And, you know, to be continued. And then here today, part two. We will resolve all of the issues that were brought up yesterday. Without further ado, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, our good friend.
A policeman is a person in your neighborhood.
Good God almighty. Mailman Chris, hello, sir.
I believe the volume increases.
Good day to you, sir.
I'm sorry, what?
I said good day to you.
And how's things?
It's the greatest day ever. It's like having your team win the Super Bowl.
And by team win the Super Bowl, you mean that Britney Spears is now free to have sex with all of us.
Well, I was thinking more about the new direction for this country.
Man, I gotta look. Here's the thing: it doesn't matter to me. The country's shot to hell. We're all goners. Doesn't matter. All I care about is that Nancy Pelosi said new direction like 500 times in about 90 seconds. Bush said it this morning when he was giving his "I'm really confused." Carl told me this couldn't happen speech. Dean said it this morning. Stephanie Miller said it like 100 times today. The thing is, now Stephanie Miller, if you listen, now Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller, who does the show between 6 and 10 here. I mean, she is a comedian by trade. That is kind of what she has done for most of her life. She's been a comedian, now she does a talk show. You think that she, and maybe she has sort of caught on to the thing and she just does, she plays it straight, because she uses the New Direction phrase a whole lot and she doesn't bat an eye. Like, I get it, she says it completely stone-faced. And there's a lot of listeners who call it, including one of our listeners, Dante, I am looking in your direction, who called her up and said, Stephanie, I'm excited to talk about this New Direction for America, because New Directions are very exciting to me. And it was only after he said it for like the fifth or sixth time, inside about 30 seconds, that she even caught on. But I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. Anyway, so blah, blah, blah. And are you at work today?
I am. And you know what? I'd like to remind everyone that when they call in to talk to you today,
yes,
they need to congratulate Scotty J on being a member of the right party.
Oh, yeah. Oh, not such a good day for Scotty J. Oh, sorry about that.
Is that why he's drinking already?
Oh, Scotty is asking if he can just go home sick now. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Yeah, boy, yeah, that worked out poorly for you, didn't it, Scotty? Well, what are you going to do? All right, so here's what we're going to do today. We will continue the best day ever. It is Best Day Ever, part two today. Of course, the big story, whether you like it or not, is that Joshua Jackson is going to be in the studio. Now, here's the thing, and I have to address this right, because I was looking at my MySpace comments last night, and a guy, because, you know, you log in, and it's like, you've got new comments. And I logged in, and a guy was like, I'm so tired of hearing about Joshua Jackson. I'm going to put a fork in my eye if I have to hear about Joshua Jackson. But here's the thing. It's no longer about Joshua Jackson being in the studio. It's now about listening to Sarah conduct the interview and seeing if she melts down while it's going on. That's really what it is. And that's a thing we can all get behind. Not that you're going to melt down. I'm sure you're going to pull it off.
No, you're doing the interview, and then I'm doing
this. Is this going to be like a Barbara Walters type of deal?
I'm doing the fluffer questions. Okay. The fluffy questions. The fluffy questions.
I'm doing the fluffer questions about his New Direction. That really is genius. Well done.
I'll fluff. Never mind.
Just quit saying it. Just stop saying that right now.
It's such a happy word, though.
Yes, it is. I was just going to really
bring happiness to the face of all of them.
Well, guy who is sick of Joshua Jackson, I'm sorry, because we get to hang out with him and you do not.
Okay.
Joshua Jackson.
There you go.
So, we were walking the streets with him
in
front of a hotel where somebody had jumped just hours
ago. Yeah, that was surreal.
It was. Well, I walked, but well, I'll talk about that here.
Yeah.
So Joshua Jackson's going to be in studio today. I'm sure he's going to want to talk about the elections a little bit, because it's obviously he was kind of a political junkie. But then we'll talk about this new movie he's done, Bobby, which opens Friday, right?
I believe it doesn't open until the 17th. Yeah. I was reading
that
today.
I think it's the 17th.
All right, well, it comes out soon, though.
We just happen to see things before most people.
It's already playing in some other towns that are hotbeds of liberalism. But it's going to open here in a couple weeks. And Scott, you know, big cast, got Martin Sheen and Sharon Stone, William H. Macy, who is great. Man, how great is William H. Macy? And by the way...
Yes, you made us all laugh in the middle of the movie.
It's hard to believe that that's somebody's real face, but it is.
William H. Macy?
Yeah.
What a horrible thing to say.
No, I mean it complimentary, really. I mean,
your real face? I swear to God, if we get him in the studio, I will give you $100. Is that your real face? And then tug on it.
It looks like a perfect Halloween mask.
So, let me understand this. So, William H. Macy looks to you as though he's wearing a Halloween mask of his own face.
Yes.
That's what we should do for next Halloween. Let's go as ourselves.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Bam! I'm calling that right now. That is me, bitches.
This joke, copyright 2006, Rick Emerson Show.
That is me. If anybody else does that, I swear to God, I will come and I will kill you.
That is brilliant.
We are going... Okay, for the next Halloween, we here on the Rick Emerson Show, we are going as ourselves.
We should have a huge listener party where everyone dresses as themselves.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
It's the best idea ever. Okay, everybody is a witness right here. That's my idea. This program created that. We are going to be doing that. You sons of bitches. Anyway, so William H. Macy.
A Twilight Zone episode.
It's like, oh, it's like that, what is that,
when they all have to wear masks?
What is that episode? The one that takes place at Mardi Gras.
Mm-hmm.
That where, with the old guy, it is just called The Masks, where the guy,
And at the stroke of midnight, you may remove your masks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And so forth. The hell was I talking about?
Why, Helen? Why do you do these things?
Okay. Let's back up. A. No. Q. So we're going to get to Joshua Jackson today. Aaron Geek in the City Duran will be in the studio today to spill the beans about his bachelor party. And this is the other big news. In fact, were it not for the election and the direction and the newness of both, this would be the lead thing today. And it's still very big. But Aaron Geek in the City Duran is going to be with us in the 1 o'clock hour. He's going to be revealing the most sordid story ever to take place at a bachelor party. A story so horrifying and warped that we actually had to wait till all of his family members were out of town to reveal it. So we will reveal that today in the program. Dick Juliana will join us, and we will revel in the newly single Britney Spears and her. And I've got a full breakout of the prenuptial agreement. I got the full, like, breakout point by point of everything he gets, everything he doesn't get. We got it right here. I know what car he gets. I know what happens to the house. So, and I know what, and have we all seen the video? The video of him being broken up with?
What?
No.
Ho-ho!
I've been too busy.
Yeah. That's right. Right here, I got the scoop. Also, Britney Spears, remember that sex tape that she claimed didn't exist? All right.
I don't know how we're going to fit all this.
I have no idea. We need some sort of auditory lubricant to fit all these things into the program today. So there you go. I don't want to tease anything else. So there we go. We got the Joshua Jackson, the Aaron Geek in the City Duran. We got the breakdown of Britney Spears, who's a prenuptial agreement. We got the new directions, left and right, and so forth. So there you go. That's what we got, my friend.
Excellent. And, you know, after revisiting the show yesterday, as I was describing that to my wife, telling her how the show broke down and how everything was just going chaotic in the city of Portland, you know, you didn't get the creepiest song ever, but you did play the My Chemical Romance song.
And
the reason you didn't get the creepy song was because you were being...
the dead guy.
That you were being an honest, good person.
Because Rick Emerson cares.
And we had decided, you know, you said at the end of the show that you would take it as a wash.
Yes.
You know what? In the face of everything, that's not a wash. That's you got to everything. I'm taking 3 off.
God bless you, sir. Thank you. So today we're all winners.
And that puts you at an even 40.
Ooh!
This the greatest.
Yeah! That's what I'm talking about. There we go. 40 right there. Thank you, sir. All right. We will check in with you at the end of today's program, which is sure to be action-packed and fantastic.
Absolutely. Have fun fluffing Joshua Jackson.
Okay, there you go.
Will do.
By fluffing, we mean interviewer. That's mailman Chris. All right.
No, we had this discussion yesterday. Don't palm the whole interview off on me now.
Okay.
I gave you all the questions.
I know. I'm just recapping because we've had to move Dick Juliana a little bit to 11. I'm just making sure that we're not running late. So Dick Juliana is not.
Good.
He's at 11:45, so we can take a few minutes here. All right. So we're here with Sarah Dillon. Looking now, is this the outfit you've chosen for Joshua Jackson?
Yeah. Actually, the sweater. I really like my sweater, but.
You're going to put it back on?
A little flush.
You're gonna put the sweater back on for Joshua.
Yeah, it's one of the ones I got from Baby Girl Boutique.
You're actually putting clothing on for him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there you go. Now, before we do anything else, Tim Riley's working on the following stories for your edification today.
I don't know where to start, but let me tell you that Donald Rumsfeld is out.
Bam!
Rick Santorum out.
Bam!
Joe Mentum in Gulf, Connecticut, he wins.
You know what? And Joe, right now, from me to you, I take it back. I said that you would never win anything ever again, and I was wrong. Joe Mentum
was strong.
Joe Mentum was running wild.
All right. The Democrats can officially start measuring the curtains, and the separation between church and state is restored.
Fantastic. All right, there you go. So, all right. Good God Almighty. All right, so let's address a couple things. Because people have asked about this. We should note today that Sarah Dillon's court case has been resolved. Remember the scurrilous woman who hit your car and then ran away like a common criminal? So it's now done, finished, over. She pled guilty, and she's going to serve some time?
She pled guilty, and more importantly, she apologized.
Did she look you in the eye?
She looked me in the eye and said she was sorry.
Was it sincere?
It seemed like it was sincere.
It wasn't rehearsed.
I felt kind of bad for her, actually. She didn't look too... So she gets 2 days in jail, a suspended license for a year and a half.
That'll keep her from driving, I'm sure.
Yeah.
A book deal.
She hit my car when she was driving with a suspended license.
Bam!
And, I don't know, a ton of fines and everything.
Yeah, there you go. But
I get paid back for my bus passes that I've had to do.
All right, so let's talk about this last night, which is last night at the Playboy Mansion. So last night we went to the theater to see Bobby, which is this new film that Emilio Estevez has written. When did it stop being Estevez and start being Estevez?
I thought it was Estevez.
I think it's Estevez.
I think it's Estevez.
I think we've been pronouncing it wrong all this time.
And speaking of pronunciations, Joshua Jackson kept saying Appalachians last night. Is that wrong or right?
No, he's Canadian.
He's Canadian.
Okay.
He doesn't know what he's talking about.
I don't know if he's trying to be kitschy.
No, and Canadians don't have kitsch. Canadians don't. They're not an ironic people. And he does have a weird accent. Did you pick up on that he has a weird accent?
First, I thought it was British.
Yeah. See, I couldn't place it. It was
that's the same accent he had on Dawson's Creek. It's not new.
It doesn't sound Canadian though. Hmm. So is it like Canadian? Did he grow up in New England? Is that his thing? Because he's from Canada. I don't know when the hell he moved here. He's some godless foreigner, and then he moved here, and so he's got some.
It's possible that accent goes all the way up there. If they speak English.
Oh, to the top of his head?
Yes.
Oh, you mean into Canada?
Yes.
Anyway, so we went to see this movie last night, Bobby, which is about Robert Kennedy, and the night that he was shot and so forth. Big downer of a film, by the way. Not the dog in the movie, but goddamn, was it depressing. I mean, it ends and you're
the speech was really good at the end,
yeah.
But.
Yeah. But I mean, it's like that Schindler's List kind of.
But it's true. It's like the Titanic. You know what's going to happen.
Except for you, Sarah, because you didn't know exactly where it was that Kennedy got shot. We all know. Yeah, everybody knows he got shot. But Sarah couldn't quite remember exactly where he was in the hotel when he gets shot. So it's like you get to it. I'm giving nothing away, and if I am really, it's your own fault. But he's. So, Kennedy's giving the speech about, and now it's on to Chicago, and let's win there. And then Sarah's like, oh, God, no, win. Oh, no, no.
Because they show the guy, because there's this one blip, you recognize everybody else, and then you see the guy who's obviously the killer walking in.
And then you see a foreigner. Then you see a young Arab man walking in.
Yeah, it made me cry. That movie made me cry. It was off. I mean, that part was terrible.
Yeah, it was not that part where where Sirhan Sirhan just goes after him with the gun. That was all kinds of unpleasant.
Yeah.
So we go out afterward and we're out there on the sidewalk, and he came in. He did a little Q&A.
No, actually, I rushed you guys out of the movie.
I couldn't even tell where you were. Sarah's like, let's go outside. Okay. And I stand up, I gather my coat, and you're already gone. And we had no idea. You were like already, you were like Adam Ant, just like speeding out to the sidewalk there.
No, so I was waiting out in the lobby for you, wondering what was taking you so long. Then I thought we missed him because I saw him go downstairs. And then, lo and behold, he stopped outside to smoke.
Yeah. Does that make him even dreamier to you?
Okay, yes.
He abuses his body with chemicals.
He was so manly.
The hottest.
Was he not manly? He was, scruffy and like.
And he spit?
Yeah. He's intelligent.
He over a fence.
This is a high fence. This is like 12 feet high at a construction site.
I hope he and his publicist are listening. So we're standing in front of the movie theater last night.
Very impressive.
It was impressive.
And to be fair, this is not like we're people who knows people or whatever. He was just standing up there talking to whoever. But we walk out and there he is.
Including the crazy truck driver guy.
Including some crazy homeless reeking of gin transit.
But that happens every time place we go.
God, and it's like.
There's always the crazy person who wants to talk to you for like 3 hours.
And so, this is us.
Speeding ticket.
This is us last night. So we're standing in front of the Fox Theater downtown last night. Talking to this is Joshua Jackson guy who, and let me just tell you this. So I walk into the building today and everybody, and it's not just women now, can I just tell you, I have no idea who Joshua Jackson was. No disrespect, pal, if you're listening, but I had no idea who he was until like 2 weeks ago. And maybe it's partially an age thing, but I think it's also just that I'm not, it's like a teen soap opera thing. It's just not a thing I'm going to watch. It's like 90210. I kind of have a layman's knowledge of 90210, but I couldn't tell you anything really about the show or various plot lines. Sarah, right now, describe in, 10 seconds or less, the plot line of a particular episode of 90210.
There's the Donna Martin graduates one when she goes to the before party at David's dad's house and they all have a little bit of champagne, but Donna's been fasting because she wanted to fit into her dress, so she's had a little too much champagne. Then she got to the dance and then she spent half the time throwing up in the bathroom, and then when she was trying to leave, the principal saw her and she almost didn't graduate.
There you go. See, I couldn't do that. You put a gun to my head. I got nothing. And that's how it was with Joshua Jackson. But we go outside and he did the Q&A after the movie. We go outside on the sidewalk and talk to him, and it's me and Sarah and Scott Daly and Tim. And he was a very cool, very down-to-earth guy. Swore like a bastard. Just the F word was every other word out of his mouth, which is that's the way to my heart.
But he also he was also intelligently swearing. Everything he was saying had a point, and he would fit in a good F word.
He was punctuating angry tirades about the state of American democracy with the F word. It was pretty great. And then he wanted to bum a smoke, and Sarah only has her little like girly Capri cigarettes that are like really tiny and thin and skinny.
That a socialite might smoke.
Totally. And so he ended up bumming one from Scott. So he's there smoking. He's like unshaven. He's smoking. He's cursing. And then he turns and he goes like, and like spits, and it goes like, I'm saying, a good 12 feet. Mm-hmm. I mean, up and over this fence right in front of the theater, and that was impressive.
It was a working class man spit.
It really was. It was, yeah, it was the spit of an honest man who makes his living by the sweat of his brow. That's what that spit was. And it wasn't no pampered Hollywood boy spit. Mm-hmm. And so we're all talking, trying to have like a reasoned discussion about the election and the way the country's going and blah, blah, blah. And then this is what always happens. A guy sort of you notice out of your peripheral vision, a guy you notice on the perimeter. And I look over, and it's a guy sort of reeking of booze like stink. And he's like, I know what you're talking about. You know, this whole country's going to hell, Joshua Jackson. Let me tell you in endless excruciating detail in a drunken slur about a speeding ticket that I got last week. And it's suddenly you know that you're never going to get the conversation back. Everybody's really embarrassed.
Okay, everyone leave for ice cream.
Then the guy, Joshua Jackson, he's trying to look all gracious, like, yeah, so...
And we left him there with that guy.
So you got a speeding
ticket. I toothless truck driver, because we were having a really good conversation.
And then my ex-wife, she's asking for alimony. And finally, we were just like, I got to go. And so I ducked out. Now I have to ask you this. Now, did you and he go out last night for, like, a cocktail?
No, I wish. I was getting ready to ask if he wanted to come out with me and my friends. And then, like, Toothless McGee decided to start talking. And he totally... Like, there's no way to smoothly do that after, like, this guy's been babbling about a speeding ticket.
And I told him that I only blew a .09 because I was belching all night. Do you believe that? You know, and yeah, so I left. But as I left... I was just like, I don't want to be here to see the homeless guy just continually badger Joshua Jackson, who seemed like a good guy. And so I'm like, I got to take off. So I leave. Tim leaves. Scott Daly goes to walk his... And as I leave, I hear Sarah say in a voice that, strictly speaking, was probably a little louder than it needed to be, yeah, Rick, I think I'm just going to go out for a cocktail. I'll see you tomorrow.
So, and then I invited Scott to work. I was like, Scott, would you like to have a cocktail?
Would you like to go out on the town and have a great time while drinking alcohol? And so that was, I looked back and I didn't see him. And so I thought that he had walked off with you to go get a drink.
No. Right. No, because his handlers, you know, just shoved him away. So I didn't even get a chance.
Yeah. All right. Well, the day's not over. I'll tell you this. I mean, if you...
I would totally love to just take him out for a cocktail and pick his brain. I'd even buy that cocktail.
Pick his brain.
Dude, I know that he's probably tired of answering. Can they just stop saying dude? I do that when I'm really excited.
You should say and preface every question today with dude.
Okay. Right. Never mind. I'm a little too flustered.
Okay. All right. So we should probably break because we got Lisa Goddard coming up at 45. We'll come back, Tim, and let's do a little overview of the news.
Sure, let's do that.
Get an overview because we got more news we could possibly talk about. So here's what's going to happen. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. Tim Riley will give you the heads up on what's going on in the big crazy world of ours. Dick Uliano. I keep saying Lisa Goddard. Dick Uliano will join us at 11:45. We'll do an election wrap-up. We have the new news hour coming up, of course, at noon, 1 o'clock. Aaron Geek in the City will be here to spill the sordid beans about the most vile bachelor party happening ever. In the 2 o'clock hour, Joshua Jackson will be here in the studio to make Sarah Dillon squirm uncomfortably in her seat like a giddy, flustered schoolgirl. All of that, plus Scotty J, plus, Britney Spears, plus, God, all of this other stuff, plus this, never mind. I don't even have time. We can take a break here. We'll come back. It's 503-733-2970. Stay there. Back after this. There you go, Scotty. All right. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You're welcome. I like it's all very cursed. I finally play something of yours without being asked, and it's all very... I don't even get a thanks. I get THX on the screen. There you go. 503-733...
That's how the kids abbreviate it.
Is that what they did? Mm-hmm. You know what I get sometimes tagged at the end of emails from people now? It's all one word. It's KTHXBY. It's a KTHXBY. That's what I get some, like, Todd the Corpse signs. Okay, you keep your LOLs to yourself. It's 503-733-2970. Let's see, what have I got here? Okay, so we're going to have Tim Riley join us in mere moments. And we'll go to the Ministry of Truth, and we'll give a quick heads up on what's going on. And then we've got Dick Uliano who's going to be joining us. I got pitched another guest this morning. And now, see, here's the thing. This is the sort of legacy of this Joshua Jackson thing, which happened today, that I'm now afraid to decline any interview without running it by everybody in the building for fear that I'm going to cancel on some pop culture icon whose status I was not aware of. Because, and we'll go to the news here in like 30 seconds, but I got to say, there was one of the guys who works on a couple in the morning. I had no idea. Some guy's my age, probably younger than I'm actually, but he's a guy. And he was all, dude, you are my... This is what he said to me this morning. He said, we're all a little hyperventilating today. I'm going to calm down.
Yeah, it's a bit too much.
But he caught me as I was coming in today. And he said, dude, you are my personal hero for booking Joshua Jackson. And he was not kidding. And then he gave me like a little, like a high five.
Yeah, he works on the morning show, and he's seriously considering coming back at 2 to get a peek at him.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he's like, I grew up with that guy. And I just, you know, all right, so there you go. So does anybody have any interest in... Oh, I know who this is. This is Freddy Rodriguez. You know him from 6 Feet Under, and he was the, actually, he was
the... Was he the busboy?
Yes, he was the diminutive Latino busboy who was in the movie last night.
Oh,
the guy
awesome.
Who wants the night off to see the game or whatever. Yes. Him and then Terry Crews. Terry Crews is actually Chris Rock's dad on Everybody Hates Chris. See, and these are the sort of nebulous gray area type interviews where, people kind of know who these guys are. Like, as if you watch Everybody Hates Chris, you know that guy. He's a funny guy. And if you...
Well, that Freddie Rodriguez guy, I know him from... he was in Can't Hardly Wait.
Really?
He said he was one of the jock football players.
So, and he was in 6 Feet Under, and so a lot of people know who they are, but I just can't bring myself to say yes, because why would I? I have nothing. So unless it's somebody that that Sarah like has a secret crush on, I'm just gonna have to pass. Ladies and gentlemen, let us now go to the Ministry of Truth with your personal savior, Tim Riley.
And now from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
There are all kinds of things going on here. First of all, a president has spoken this morning and says, yes, the people have spoken.
As the commander-in-chief, I take these responsibilities seriously. And so does the man who served this nation honorably for almost 6 years as our Secretary of Defense, Donald Rumsfeld. Now, after a series of thoughtful conversations, Secretary Rumsfeld and I agreed that the timing is right for new leadership at the Pentagon.
Okay, so there you go. Fortunately, now here's the thing: is we're going to have Dick Uliano here in just a few. Fortuitously, we had this is like the thing with Jim Roop and Britney Spears and the Hey Hey and the whatnot, because we'll be able to talk to him and find out the thing here. Now, is this? I mean, it's got to be a thing where like the resignation is already in a drawer somewhere, and they just wait for the right day or the wrong day, as the circumstances might have it, and then Bush just calls and goes, "Rummy, you're out." And it has to be.
We're posting it on Wikipedia. You have to leave.
Seriously, we're busy updating the website right now. Could you be out by 2? Thank you.
So, the president says, now that all this is over, everyone must cooperate.
The military has experienced an enormous amount of change and reform during the last 5 years while fighting the war on terror. Don Rumsfeld has been a superb leader during a time of change. Yet he also appreciates the value of bringing in a fresh perspective during a critical period in this war.
Not that he'll be bringing anything in himself, as he'll be busy packing all of his belongings into a box and standing sadly in a corner waiting for the MTA to come by.
He'll get a job at Fox News Channel.
Well, you know exactly where a guy like Donald Rumsfeld, and I meant this sincerely. We were talking to Kristen Bowie, who was here this morning, and she was, she's a big bleeding heart, and she was just giddy. She was just doing cartwheels over Rumsfeld resigning, which is, and I understand why people are that way, but I got to tell you, my first reaction, and I can't speak for Tim, but my first reaction when I saw the Rumsfeld resigning, and I didn't believe it. I walked in, and when I say I didn't believe it, not like, oh, my God, I mean, literally, I thought that there was a mistake somehow, because I walked in, and I said, oh, quite a day. What with the new directions and all?
Yes.
And it was either Sarah or Kristen called me this morning. He's like, Donald Rumsfeld resigned. I'm like, nah, get out. You don't have to. And I came in and I saw it on CNN, and it was a huge, it's still up there, like an 80-point type on the screen. But my first reaction is, and it continues to be, that I'm going to miss that guy. I mean, who could they get that's going to be as entertaining as that? I mean, although it does seem like a bit of a waste, because they have this, it's like with Colin Powell. Remember how for the... What is Colin Powell even doing now? Nothing. Was he at that leadership seminar that they had at the Rose Garden?
Yeah.
Was that him? Because it's always either him. Those leadership seminars are always the same. It's always like Rudy Giuliani and then a guy from the first Gulf War and like three heads of industry and then either Tom Powers or Zig Ziglar. It's a whole bunch of like, if you can't afford to go to Tony Robbins, then come see. That's what it is. It's like five junior Tony Robbins guys. But Colin Powell, you talk about a guy who was, I mean, the public loved him, the people loved him. The guy just had gravitas and just charisma when he spoke. And then they just, like, put him in the box. They never let him talk to the people again. Which is, you talk about an administration just shoots themselves in the foot. I mean, just simply in terms of PR and rhetoric over and over again. Same thing with Don Rumsfeld. Got a guy out there. Donald Rumsfeld is just, he does have charisma, but it's a certain sort of anti-charisma, because he does it just, he's like the crankiest old bastard. Like the last year and a half, they never let him speak.
No.
I mean, did you ever notice this? Because there was a golden time. Do you remember those glory years when we would be sitting back there at the old KOTK studio and Donald Rumsfeld would be holding these afternoon press conferences where it's like you could tell it was all he could do to just not jump off the podium and just kick reporters in the groin and then like body check them and shove them to the ground and dance up and down on their sternums. And then at a certain point, they stopped letting him go out there. And you would hear these quotes from Donald Rumsfeld, you hear these speeches he would give. But you would never see him on TV giving the speeches, and from listening to them, it was impossible to tell where he might have been. So it was just, I got the feeling he was just wandering around looking for high school gymnasiums, and then he would just walk, do you need a speech? I'm here, I got my notes, and then they'd, well, all right. Okay, but we got volleyball in an hour, and fine, and then he'd get up there and just talk.
And the president continues, number three.
Bob is a former director of the CIA and current president of Texas A&M University. If confirmed by the Senate, Bob will bring more than 25 years of national security experience and a stellar reputation as an effective leader with sound judgment.
Who is this?
This is Bob, who's replacing Donald Rumsfeld.
That's great. I would love that. I think the idea, we should totally just have a guy named Bob.
Bob is now taking over for Donald Rumsfeld.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Apparently has a very fine background.
Is Bob going to be like that? Here's a thing that Sarah Dillon and anybody under the age of 30 won't remember. Just the idea of a guy named Bob being the Secretary of Defense, it makes me think of that guy named Herb. Who was the one, remember Herb? He was the one guy in the world that like hadn't tried Burger King. Am I thinking of the right ad campaign?
I think so, yes. This goes back
to there was Herb. And Herb was this guy. This was in the mid-80s, I think. And there was this guy named Herb. And Burger King's whole ad campaign was that he was the last man in America. This is sort of a pre-Where's Waldo kind of a thing. That he was the last man in America who had not tried Burger King. And so there was this whole, like, do you know where Herb is? And so there was a whole thing. If you were, like, in America somewhere, it was sort of like the Running Man. Like, he was just out there on the lam somewhere in the continental United States. And if you found Herb, you won, like, $1 jillion or something. And then he finally showed up at one in, like, you know, Penobscot or something. Maybe that's Joshua Jackson calling you. Maybe he's calling to be your special friend.
They like their cocktail.
No, I was going to slip him my business card, but the handlers.
No. Here's the thing.
How about if you gave it to the handler?
You totally should have done that, though. You should have been like, and here's the thing.
I wasn't feeling ballsy enough, and I looked kind of gross last. I wasn't
fine.
Prepared.
Portland casual.
I looked Portland casual.
But that's okay.
I was in like a big frumpy sweater and like my chucks.
But you don't want to look like you're, you don't want to look like you're trying to gussy up for him. You know what I mean? You don't want to look like, hi, I'm here to dress. Because he must just be barraged with sluts all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Not that you are, but I'm saying, you know, he must be. I'm immune to sluts. No, I'm just saying he's any guy.
No, but see, I'm not his type because he's dating this, like, gorgeous, you know, stick girl with, like, blonde hair.
Well, he's ready for a change, then. Mm-hmm. He's ready for
a new
direction. Bam! We'll get Dick Uliano in, like, 10 seconds here. But what was I saying about Bob and then the hey? Well, it's gone. Anyway, you should have slipped in the business card. Here's what you should have
done.
I'm
going to today.
Okay, but
I already have it out.
You should have. See, last night, just in case this happens, and not that there's anybody else who can compare to this, but in case we ever interview a guy like this in the future, here's the deal. You do this. You slip him the business card, and you don't slip it to him. You're very obvious about it. That's the thing. You say, hey, by the way, we're looking forward to having you on the show tomorrow. I'll tell you what, here's the back line in the studio. If you're, you know, if you have any issues, you need to get a hold of our, you know, our PA and book it. And that's my cell phone number on the back if you need to change anything or if anything needs to be altered for your visit. Thank you. We're looking forward to it.
Ooh, okay.
You just slide in the,
no,
where's my cell phone
number? No, but I could still use that today because it'd be like, oh, well, you know, you were such a good, you were such a great guest. If you're ever back through town, please hang on to my card.
Also, might need a rub down.
Yes.
All right. The cell phone number is the new, here's my home number. That's what it is. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome, from the Hill, CNN radio correspondent and guy you ought to listen to, Dick Giuliano. Hello, sir.
Hey, Rick Emerson. Hello from Washington.
How are you doing, man? It's good to hear your dulcet tones on the airwaves once again.
Hey, it's great to be on. And what a news day here in Washington. Oh, my God.
Now, the when did... It is now 11:45 our time, so it's... now, what, it's 2:45 your time. When did the Rumsfeld thing come down, and was that anticipated at all by anybody?
No, it was a bombshell. I mean, you know, amid all this blaring news about the Democratic election victories, suddenly this even louder horn blares out, Rumsfeld stepping down.
Now,
are you kidding me?
I have a question. Now, is that in some way like a tactic that magicians call misdirection? Is that a little bit to distract from the fact that they have lost the House and may lose the Senate? Is it like, look over here at this thing?
In a way, you may be onto something there, only you got to back up a little bit and understand that they didn't just come up with this today. You have to recall that in the past couple of weeks, President Bush was predicting victory, so was his political advisor, Karl Rove. They felt really well, growing confidence. I'm talking about the Republicans, by the way, a growing confidence as they approached these midterm elections. The polls showed Republicans were closing ranks a bit, and during that time frame, the president was having these discussions with Rumsfeld about stepping down. He had contacted Robert Gates, the man he's turning to replace Rumsfeld, so the plans were in the works. So had it worked out the way the White House had hoped, today they would have announced, hey, the Democrats didn't win the House, or maybe, you know, the Democrats won it by just one vote, and we kept the Senate, and, oh, by the way, Rumsfeld's leaving.
There was always that story about Richard Nixon where the first thing that happened when you went to work for Richard Nixon is everybody who worked for him had to fill out their resignation and sign it and give it to him, and he just kept it in a drawer. And the deal was that when he felt wronged by you or when he needed to distract people from something else, he would just pull out your resignation. And that's got to be, there's some variation on that that has to exist now where you serve, obviously, at the pleasure of the president.
Right.
And is this a, he was told or he felt it was better to walk before they make him run?
Well, you know, look, he's been under fire for a long time, as you know, and I think that, you know, one of the tipping points may have been this call by eight generals that Rumsfeld ought to resign. What he always had in his nearly 6 years of service was the undivided loyalty of the President of the United States, who not only likes Rumsfeld, but trusts Rumsfeld and has felt that he's done a very, very good job. Now, what the President said at his White House news conference last hour is that in a series of conversations, the two decided it was time to make a change in the job of defense chief. And that's basically what they've said about it.
And so we've got this, Democrats haven't taken the House. And then, where are we at with the Senate? It's 50-49. It's just Virginia right now that's tying all this up, right?
You're talking about the Senate.
The Democrats
have won the House with at least 28 seats. In the Senate, the Democrats are on the verge of capturing the Senate as well. The Democrat in Montana has declared victory. The only one that hangs in the balance, really, is Virginia. And in Virginia, the Democrat has declared victory. It's just that the Republican, Senator George Allen, has not conceded yet.
And this
the
is
Democrat has more votes.
And this is Webb we're talking
yes,
about. Yes,
Jim Webb. And former Navy Secretary, one-time Republican, by the way.
And so, I mean, well, obviously, that declaring victory, that is a thing that I think everybody learned in 2000, the perception paces reality a lot of times. So you just you call yourself the winner and whatever. It's within how many percent now? In other words, is this going to be one of those things where it's guys in a room recounting this for like 2 weeks and dragging it out, or are we going to know today?
This is going to be a little bit different than what we became familiar with in Florida. Looking at my notes, I'm trying to figure out how many votes separate them now. I think it's a few thousand You know, I hope I'm not wrong about that, but I believe Webb has a few thousand more with not all the precincts counted. What's going on in Virginia right now, Rick, is what they call a canvass. They're canvassing every polling election board in the state of Virginia. They're not recounting ballots, but basically these election boards are going over their numbers, making sure they added correctly, you know, over the long night, and making sure they used all the right tools. If the loser is within a half percentage point, he can demand a recount. If he's within one percentage point, he can demand a recount. But if he loses, he winds up paying for the recount.
All right. So it's all kinds of drama. And I know
we can go on a while because it will take until November 27th for the State Board of Elections to certify the election.
And I know that you are. I mean, you're very busy. So a couple of quick things. Finally, is this better than Democrats by objective standards were expected to do, or worse, or about what everybody predicted?
That's a good question. I think as far as the House is concerned, it's right in line with projections of 20 to 30 seats. But if you look at the governor's races, this is far better than people had expected Democrats to do. People were talking about the Democrats winning the House. They did that. Probably not taking the Senate. They're on the verge of doing that. Nobody was talking about the governor's races. They won 28 of the governor's races to 22 for Republicans.
All right, Dick Giuliano, a busy day for everybody. You'll let us know if there's another rash of defections from the White House.
Yeah, or some other bombshell, yeah.
So there you go. Dick Giuliano, CNN radio correspondent on the Hill. My friend, we will talk to you very soon. It was great to have you back on the show. Enjoy the rest of this very busy day. There you go. Dick Giuliano, ladies and gentlemen. Fantastic. All right. 503-733-2970. Busiest day ever. Okay, and that guy, Tester, I don't know his first name. This guy in Montana who just declared victory. I swear to God.
Man,
he came on the screen.
I thought it was him.
His name is Robert Paulson. Did you look at this guy on the screen? Who's the guy in the do-rag right next to him? This guy, you really have to look this guy up on the internet. This guy, Tester, who just won in Montana, just declared victory in Montana. I swear to God, he's Meatloaf in Fight Club. You just expect him to have the leaking man boobs right in the front. That's all he needs, and he would be that guy.
Okay, that was just
You know
bad.
What I'm talking about.
Leaky?
That's what they were. Weren't they?
I don't know.
Hello. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. Here's what's coming up. Back in a moment with the AM 970 Noon News Hour with Tim Riley. We'll do the complete breakdown of Britney Spears' failed marriage. We will have Joshua Jackson on the 2 o'clock hour here to stare at Sarah Dillon until he begins weeping helplessly. 1 o'clock, Aaron Geek in the city will be here to talk about his...
No, I think it's reversed. I'll be staring at him.
Bachelor Party. I will do some of the heavy lifting.
Thank you.
I really
genuinely am really starting to get nervous.
Don't be nervous.
I'm nervous.
You know what would help that is if you have a drink or two.
I wish.
Oh,
I
you
wish
can.
The commercial breaks were long enough for...
You're the opera... For some drugs?
No, for a cigarette.
Oh, you can have a cigarette.
I can't make it downstairs and back in time.
Isn't there a... Oh, that's right. We're up on the third floor. That's too bad.
Yeah.
Too bad you're the operator on duty. You could just go get a little nip in the closet there. All right.
You're starting to freak me out.
I'm just saying. If you were Scotty, you'd be drunk by... If you were Scotty, you'd be... If you were home,
always drunk.
If you lived here and were Scotty, you'd be drunk by now. All right, back after this is the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970, Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere.
We flipped our finger to the King of England. The gold rock coming from the Indians. We got our side and guns in our hands. Took it for our own. Some of the nation dedicated.